And we're in 2 Corinthians 3. So it says, he would go in, he would remove the veil when he would come out. His face would shine with the glory of God, right? Or with the splendor of the Lord, with the effects of God working, even affecting his physical body. He would veil his face so that the people could not see, right? So obviously it's clear that when the Lord is talking about here in Corinthians about a veil, he's talking about blindness, or he's talking about short-sightedness, right? Not being able to see or not seeing. The point is that in whatever case, the not seeing is not seeing Jesus, right? That's what's not being seen, is the glory of the Lord. And the reason why I can say that not seeing the glory of the Lord is seeing Jesus is for something that will actually is not seeing Jesus. That not seeing the glory of the Lord is not seeing Jesus, because I believe it's in, later on in chapter 4, I believe, or if not, I'll find it for you. But it does say that the glory of God, right, is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So the revelation of who God is, right? It's not just, you know, because sometimes people think about glory and they see this example and they think it's about light, right? And it kind of is about light in its definition, because it's talking about revelation or manifestation, right? But in other words, but where God is seen is in his Son. The way you know the Father is to know the Son. If you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. It's the same way as seeing. If you don't see the Son, you can't see the Father, right? If you don't see the Son, you can't see the Father. If you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father, right? So again, using the example of my parents from years ago, right now, obviously, they're saved. They know the Lord, but and even the way we say that, right? We know the Lord. We know the Lord because you see the Lord, right? You know the Lord because you see the Lord. If you couldn't see the Lord, you wouldn't know the Lord. You would not be saved, right? So anyway, but years ago, right, they were looking for the Lord, but the one they were missing, it's not that someone was not talking about God to them, but they weren't showing them or teaching them or preaching Jesus to them. They weren't preaching the finished work of the cross to them. So without preaching the finished work of the cross, they would have never arrived. I don't remember exactly who preached to them or how. I think my mother was the first one to be saved. But without that, they would have never been saved, because they could never see, right? So if we go back real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, not that far. Was I at verse 14? Is that where I was? 13? 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. So they could not see the glory that was on his face, which obviously is saying the children of Israel were blind. They could not see God because they would not see Jesus, right? If they were willing to learn Jesus, they would have seen God, right? But obviously that wasn't the case for them, at least, right? Verse 14 says, but their minds were blinded. So obviously it's talking about the glory on the face of Moses. It's talking about a physical veil over the face of Moses. But in verse 14, it says their minds were blinded. So is it that their minds were blinded, or was the veil on his face? I mean, who's blinded? I mean, am I blinded because you put a veil over his face, over your face? But the point here is, the significance of this obviously is revealing what that was showing, right? Their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. So yeah, Moses put a veil over his face, but what they could not see, right? What they could not see was Jesus. They could not, and I'll show that to you a bit better, but the one that they were not seeing was Jesus. If they would have had a heart open to be able to hear and be taught the Messiah, right, to be able to be taught the Lord, they would have been able to see. But it says their minds were blinded, right, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted, right? So obviously that's hope for every single person that's blind, or for every single person that is short-sighted, is that there is a lifting of that which is in the way, right? There is a lifting of the veil. So if you're being short-sighted and you can't see, that's fixed easily, right? Because if you're saved and you're being short-sighted in the way you're living, the easy way to fix that is to allow the Lord to begin to teach you once again Jesus Christ, right? And if you get back on that track again, then you'll start seeing. That easy, right? If you don't know the Lord and you're blind completely, right? Completely, but not short-sighted, but you're blind, blindness is lifted through what, right? Blindness is lifted through, it says their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted. So the veil, he says in a second, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Now, that's a cool thing because a lot of people, not us here because we've been taught better, but we've been taught better of the Lord, but here it's talking about Moses, a veil over his face, the people of Israel, and then it says that they were blind and that that veil or that blindness is only removed in Christ, right? So and that even until this day, anyone, regardless of what testament they're reading, regardless of what they practice, regardless of what they're doing, if they are not, and this is really important, right? If they are not listening to the preaching of the gospel, right? Jesus Christ and him crucified and the glory that we live in today. And I'll say it to you like this. If the glory that they are beholding is not Jesus Christ, right? If the glory that they're beholding is not Christ, right? Then they will remain in a place where they cannot see, right? So the veil, or let me say it to you like this, understanding only comes through Jesus, right? Understanding the Father, understanding heavenly things, understanding who we are, understanding what we have, understanding how anything in the life of a Christian works, anything in the life of a Christian, what the Bible means, what the Bible was written for, what my purpose is, all of that stuff, anything to do with life and godliness for a believer, only is understood, right, through a seeing and beholding Jesus Christ and him crucified in the glory we live in today. In other words, beholding the glory that the Lord has today, understanding how everything that he has today, he has because of everything that he's already done. So if we read a little bit more, in verse number 16, it says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, right? And it's cool because he makes it so simple, right? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, another way to that word turns is also translated converted, right? When one turns to the Lord, it says the veil is taken away. When one turns to the Lord, the blindness is removed. When one turns to the Lord, your short-sightedness all of a sudden became, right? All of a sudden you're becoming now a person that is now seeing and you're no longer short-sighted, right? The veil is taken away. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The reason why, because it's interesting that that's kind of like put in there. It almost seems like it's sandwiched between two things. And what does it mean that now all of a sudden, now the Lord is the Spirit? You were just talking about Moses, a veil, blindness being removed, and you say, now the Lord is the Spirit. The reason why that's important and why that's there is because it's speaking about the ministration of the Spirit, right? Or the ministry of the Spirit. What the ministry of the Spirit is to minister to us Christ and him crucified, right? So the Lord, he ministers to us. He reveals himself to us. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, right, there is an unveiling. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a seeing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the ability to be able to see, right? So he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, in verse number 18, speaking of those that are his, we all with unveiled face, and then it tells you now, here's what we're seeing, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And it's so cool, he doesn't just say beholding the glory of the Lord, he said beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, right? So we are not those that are blind, right? Because we have the Lord. And we are not of those that have to live short-sighted. Why? Because we are constantly, right, being ministered to by the Spirit of God, being ministered the gospel to us, right? So as long as you're being ministered the gospel, which is Christ in him crucified, the gospel is not good news about anything else except Jesus Christ and him crucified and the glory that he's given us today. So when we behold, right, the glory of Christ, right, the glory that he presently lives in, everything that he has today because of everything that he's done, we're beholding what we have, and we're also, so we know the Father because we know the Son, and we know ourselves because we know the Son, right? So obviously, regardless of how you slice it, the centrality is still in Jesus, right? So he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image as the one that we're beholding from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, making reference to as the Spirit of God teaching us, right? We have no need that any man teaches. Then chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry, We have received mercy. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So when the gospel is preached to men, right, it is that the response to a gospel that's preached is between that individual and God, not between that individual and me, or not between that individual and you. It's between that individual and God. And if they reject it, they reject him. If they reject it, they reject what he's saying, not what you're saying, right? The gospel is just the gospel. If they reject it, don't take it personal, right? They're rejecting him, right? It doesn't have anything to do with your physical relationships. It has to do with what you're saying, right? It has to do with the word that you're preaching. So it says then later on a little bit more, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled. So what is it that's veiled? What was it that was veiled from the children of Israel? The gospel, right? What is it that is veiled to those, even to this day, that read the Old Testament, that read Moses? What is it that's veiled? The gospel. What are they reading? Moses. What's veiled? The gospel. The gospel is revealed then what? In Moses, the gospel is revealed throughout all scripture. The purpose of scripture is to reveal Jesus, right? Why? So that we would see, because those are the eyes that we're given to be able to see. That's what the Spirit ministers to us, is Christ, right? So he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those that are perishing, whose minds, going back to the mind, because that's where the blindness is, right? Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, and here's where he says it again, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, lest the revelation, the light, right, that which is manifested to them, which is Christ, right? So a way to say that is, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe the manifestation of their, or the revelation of Christ. And Christ, it says, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It says Christ is the exact image of God, the representation of God. In other words, if you know him, he's saying, you know my Father. If you don't see the gospel, you cannot see the Father. And it says that if you allow that light to shine on you, which is what? The gospel he's talking about, the gospel that's veiled from those that are perishing. He says, if you allow that gospel to enlighten the eyes of your understanding, right? The eyes of your understanding being opened, it says, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light. Listen, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. For it is God that commands, right? That the revelation of Christ is the only way to come out of darkness. The revelation of Jesus, right, which is what he's referring to here by light, the revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified is the only way to come out of blindness, the only way to come out of misunderstanding, the only way to come out of error. If someone is in error, the one that they're missing is the revelation of what he is and what he's done, right? We've used this example, and there's people that, I love using the example because it seems to people so extreme, right? But and I think we probably talked about it just recently, but I'll say it again. If someone believes in death, the only reason that they believe in death is because they see death with their eyes, not because they see death when they behold Jesus Christ, right? That's when you behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, you are not seeing death. So a person that is living, quote unquote, I say, right, with my fingers and making air quotes, by faith, when a person lives by faith, right, they would not be a believer of death unless they were living by what they see. Because if an individual never saw death, then let's say you saw death in the world, right, but you never knew of a single Christian that ever died, you would believe that once you're a Christian and you have the life of God, you don't have to die, right? That would be your deduction. But that deduction would only come from, or that line of thinking would only come because of what you see, not because of what you behold. So it is ridiculous for a Christian to say, I believe in death. I believe that death has power over me, because that's what they mean when they say that I have to die. Death has power over me, right? So it's ridiculous for a Christian to say death has power over me, and at the same time say that no, that the only one that I'm beholding is Jesus, because you're not, because that's not what you're going to see in Jesus, right? So if we want to know what we have and who we are, we have to look at him, because the only way The only way that we do not see darkness, the only way that we don't walk around short-sighted like we're blind people that can't see, even though we are people that have sight, is to behold him. It's the only place where the veil is removed. It is the only place where error, right, where error is non-existent, is in the gospel, right? There's no misunderstanding there. When you're beholding him, there's no misunderstanding. When you leave him out, there is always error, misunderstanding, confusion, problems, always, right? And the problem is always the same. The one that's missing is who? The gospel, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ is always the one that's missing, right? So let's keep going. We're going to wrap up here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says also, but also for this very reason, given all diligence to add, and that should say in your faith, not to your faith, right? There's nothing, we've gone through this before. You don't add things to your faith. Faith is how you live, right? Things are added to your life because of your faith, but you don't have faith and then you have to supplement it with all this stuff, right? The correct translation is there, add in your faith, virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, so if all of these fruits that he just mentioned, right, if all of these fruits that he just mentioned are yours and they abound, it says you are neither then, you're showing that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, in other words, for he who lacks the fruit of the Spirit, for he who lacks fruitfulness from God in his life, right, that person is short-sighted even to blindness, and the only thing that they have forgotten is that they have been cleansed from their old sins. In other words, right, all that he's saying there, and we'll stop right there so we'll start the next phase of our service, right? But all that he's saying there is that when we as Christians are short-sighted, the only reason why we're short-sighted is because we have forgotten Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? When that's not something that is out of your mind, then you're constantly, especially, right, we come to church, we're gathered, why? To be able to share with one another what? The gospel. The gospel that always unveils. The gospel that removes short-sightedness, right? The gospel that allows us to constantly be reminded of who we are and what we have and what we possess. The easiest way, especially as you talk to people and you interact with people, there's not a whole lot of argument ever when you talk about what Jesus has and that you have been made as he is, right? Where the arguments are is when you start debating this scripture or that scripture, or I interpret it this way, I interpret it that way. Listen, here's really simple. And actually, Pastor Mike was reading this verse several services ago, I don't know if it was last service or whatever, but that scripture is not up to our private interpretation. You want to see, you want to understand what scripture is, right? But behold the Lord and you will understand scripture, right? The only way to understand scripture is to be able to understand that the one that scripture is testifying of is about him. The misunderstanding, again, that we're saying, the blindness, the short-sightedness that occurs, and it says short-sightedness even to blindness occurs when? When we're reading scripture, when anyone takes anything that's written in scripture and uses that to say something other than a testimony of Jesus Christ, right? That's where we go wrong.
ReformInUs.com